Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and what? We're gonna start that over.
Okay.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's Couch Chats. I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have one of our new, really good friends, Miss Vanessa Friedel. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
We're so excited. Mm-hmm. We know Vanessa in a couple of different ways, so I'm really looking forward to getting to talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, how did you get to the show today?
My best answer would be love. My love of drag, my love of drag queens.
How long have you been in like the drag queen world?
Just a little over a year. My child, Nora Demented, was in Drag Survivor Season 2 at Hamburger Mary's.
Cool.
And so we were there for everything, and...
Was Jordan Nora before he was Bach?
Oh,
that's tricky.
Wow.
I know.
I think he was still Crazy Quilt when he became Bach.
Okay. All right. This is a lot of explanation for our listeners.
Let's go ahead and explain some of that. You've kind of always been a drag mom, if you will, right?
Since he started, yes.
Wow. That is so cool. And what do you do in the daytime? Whenever you're not being an amazing woman.
I go to work at the post office.
Cool. How long have you worked for that?
22 years.
Wow, that's awesome. You've probably seen a lot of my mail or something. Yeah. I don't know what you're supposed to say on that thing.
Yeah, it's an awesome job. Helped me raise two kids as a single parent. And
Are you from Kansas
no complaints.
City?
We actually live in Green Valley.
Okay.
So about 20 miles east.
And is that where you were from your whole life?
I was born in Kansas City. We lived in Independence until my parents divorced when I was about 6, and then we moved to Green Valley in 1979.
Wow.
My grandmother moved out there, and we all followed.
I love that. Where is Green Valley to the next city? What do you drive kind of past? Is that Blue Summit?
Yeah. Four miles east of Blue Springs.
Cool.
Yeah. Closest to Blue Springs. Right between Blue Springs and Oak Grove.
Yeah, that's awesome. I grew up in Lee's Summit, and so I was always, like, kind of close to what I felt.
Right.
Green Valley, but we never really kind of crossed those lines. So tell us a little bit about your time with Drag Survivor, and, like, what it is like to sort of be a stage mom and then kind of a performer as well.
Well, thanks, Widow. We started out going to watch Nora perform as his first name was Miss Crazy Quilt. And we started out at the first show I went to was the Boris show. And he came off the stage and I bawled like a baby. As soon as I saw him start performing, I was bawling. It was just everything to me. He was just there, and his whole body, his face, everything lit up like I knew where he belonged.
That's so, like, amazing that you had the ability to just be so excited for one of your kids to be, like, living their truth, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. We had already done, he has a younger brother who's 5 years younger, Donovan, and he had played football since about age 6, and we went to all those football games and football practices, so why would I not go to every drag show I could get a hold of? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that is not always, like, what a parent would do, you know?
I didn't know that. Going in, I had no idea, and I think our first couple of drag shows, my mom and I would walk out, and people would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe mom and grandma are both here. We've had aunts and cousins and everything else that have went to shows, and people are just amazed at that. And to me, that doesn't make sense. Why that's cool, because that's how it should be.
Well, I can tell you as a kid, you know, I'm very supported, though. My mom and dad are kick-ass.
Hello, Sparky.
Yeah. Hello, Sparky. You're listening. And Hammy. But I often get told how lucky I am to have that sort of support, and so I definitely love to, I hate to use the word, like, reward or say thank you, but it really means a lot to have someone who will just blindly love their kid, no matter if they're in football or up there, you know, changing lives while performing. Because your son is a part of the reason that many of the people in my life are happy. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely a product of you, you know.
And that makes, I think it makes me happier to hear that he makes people happy, that he's had an impact on the world. You know, even through high school and all of that, he worked in a Target. He worked at the grocery store, and we would go places and be out in the public, and people would be like, "Oh, Jordan, I love you. I love your son." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't know you."
Yeah.
But I mean, everywhere we went.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I can claim all of the, but
you could have been a reason why it got stifled, though.
Yeah,
you
chose
love, as you said, instead of trying to form your kid into maybe what society thought, you know. And you, when you walk into Hamburger Mary's or whatever, you are a part of the light that comes in there, too. Everyone sees
you. So much.
I mean, I was fortunate enough to be one of the judges for Drag Survivor a couple of months ago. Gosh, have they already done a whole nother season? They're in
season 5?
This is actually season 4.
Season 4. So you were 3.
Okay. Yeah, but you would come, you know, to the shows, and when you walked in, everyone wanted to hug you. Everyone was loving you. And so I remember kind of being so excited to be able to go over and introduce myself to you, because I knew you had a relationship with my little best friend, Isabel,
yes.
Miss, you know, sister Ding Dong of the House of Dong.
You should see people's face
hashtag.
When I say little sister Chibata, Queen Chibata, Ding Dong of the House of Ding Dong. Yeah,
and they're like, "What the hell did you say?"
Yeah.
And you're like, "You'll know. Just come and see."
Right.
Yeah.
You'll get it.
What did you kind of think whenever Jordan talked about going into the sisterhood and being a part of that? Was that
you
a
really
conversation?
Want me to cry today, don't you?
Sometimes.
Really be talking to you if I didn't cry a little bit.
That's very true. The sisters probably did more for Jordan and I than they will ever even be able to fathom. We had had a rough couple of years. He had moved out to the city. It freaked me out. Now we're trying to find a place to live down here. So I got over that. But I met some of his friends, and that changed everything. So Sam and RJ and Autumn were probably my first friends that I met of his, and I was like, okay, we're good. And then he started talking about Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy opens his mouth, and I bawl.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'm the only one.
Mm-mm.
No. I think Andy just is very inspirational.
He is another person who changes a lot of people's lives.
Yes. And probably doesn't even know how many.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the same way you probably don't realize how many lives you change on a weekly basis.
Well, and I think that, and I don't know for Andy, but I know for me, it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything exciting or I'm just being.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess sometimes that is enough for someone who hasn't had someone there to love them
right,
the way
right.
they should have been loved.
Right.
And protect them.
Well, that's why you have the title like Mama Demented, you know?
Right?
I mean you know, your prefix or whatever is Mama, and there,
mm-hmm.
and what we need sometimes, all of our, I mean, screw just being in like the drag community or the theater community, but sometimes what kids are lacking is a mom
mm-hmm. right.
that can, you know, that loves them for every little sweet and weird and fantastical thing that they do. I mean, Courtney is one too. She literally allows Isabel to be
Isabel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let your
exactly.
freak flag fly. And that's why that song is so important to so many people, but especially I think
yeah.
to Isabel, is to say, no, we're fine. You know, let's play.
Right.
Let's just be.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy has a way of inspiring people to not mimic him, but to find their own expression through
sure.
the art of drag and manifesting. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't acknowledge or accept, that drag is one of the most beautiful forms of art that you can see, because you literally watch men change.
Right.
into a new person sometimes, and a better person sometimes than they think that they can be when they're out, what is it, when they're out of face?
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Well, yes, I mean, we knew Andy prior to the sisterhood, yeah, I mean, there's nothing that Andy is, if not always himself, but he is a much softer version of himself when he is manifested. And I don't know if that was true when he was in drag, when he was more, you know, traditionally in drag,
because I don't want to, I want you to continue, but I think that also since the sisters sort of formed, this difference between drag and mm-hmm. the sisters has also came about.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a widow, you can be a Heidi Banks, and then you can be that person. Like, Heidi is not a sister, but, like, mm-hmm. then Heidi Banks could become a completely new personality.
Yeah. Well, Nora and Baklava are two different people, for sure.
That's, yes. But that's what I love. It shows the extension of that art form inside of their souls, that they are able to be two different mm-hmm. sort of people, and that is because they have surrounded themselves with people like you and Andy, and Alan is a great guard, if you will. They were on the show about a year ago, right?
Yeah, they were on for Exequitur.
Yeah.
And Jordan was in The Sisters then, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I have to think of who has a portrait and who doesn't.
Yes, it's behind my desk at work.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm. Do you have an office at work?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so great. I have the fish that we made at the Drag Queen mm-hmm. Story
mm-hmm.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the camp magazine with Cheese Whiz, uh-huh. Sister Cheese Whiz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't ever hide my support.
No.
I wear it on my sleeve, so.
But you, because you are so supportive, like, what is your, like, magic? What sort of magic do you have that you give the world? You know, you're, besides the magic of a beautiful, beautiful kids and being so lovely, what is it that you kind of feel you have?
I think the biggest thing I have is unconditional love. I love Nora. I love Bach. I love Jordan. I love Donovan. I love all of my drag queen babies.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditionally. I'm not always, as a parent, you're not always going to think that they're doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always going to love them unconditionally, no matter what.
Love is a pretty strong character trait, and I definitely think that you you have it, you know.
I don't remember ever not being that way, as far as, you know, those are my kids, that I protect them, that's what you do, and I mean, mm-hmm. you let them make their mistakes sometimes, and...
Have you ever, like, do you remember a time where you questioned, like, if sexuality was kind of good or bad, or have you always just kind of blindly been all right with people?
So, see, you said you wanted to learn something new about
me. I know,
me.
I do want to learn. I want to learn everything.
So, when the boys were small, I met a girl, and we lived together for 7 years.
Awesome.
Didn't turn out so great, but it taught me a lot about myself, about people, about, and it all was kind of at the same time that Jordan was coming out and deciding what to do and whether or not to tell it people at school and all of that. And I was just very supportive and said, that became a contentious-ish, you know what I mean, issue because as having come out not until college, she didn't believe that he should come out in high school, mm-hmm. especially because we lived in a small town. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, this is his decision. If he wants to come out, then he comes out at school. And
yeah.
He did. And we had some issues. I'm not going to say it was all great. But for the most part, his spirit just came through and he didn't get a lot of, I mean, you know, I was very overprotective with him compared to 5 years later with Donovan, because I was worried about those things. You know, I didn't want him going to the mall with his friends because what if somebody got him in the corner?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I was probably a little overprotective on that end, but for the most part, I think he turned out okay.
He did. Yeah. And what does that feel like? You know, I mean, I feel like parents are always worried when their kids leave the house for 20 million reasons, but when you sort of add that other variable to that, that has to be crazy as a parent to allow your kid to go out there when you know that potentially so many people out there.
I think I'm even more scared now to some degree than I was then. Mm-hmm. And not as much for Nora as, oh, sorry, Jordan. I go back and forth, so I hope everybody knows who they are.
Some of these listeners.
Post a diagram.
But that's another reason why I love to have these conversations on the radio, is because there are times that we will, like, we have to almost compartmentalize which person we're talking
right.
about. You know, Nora is here, Baklava is here, mm-hmm. Jordan is working over here,
right.
you know.
Right, and I get confused a lot.
Yeah.
So whatever comes out is what he gets called.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I may call him or her or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just, I think the society, what I've found in the last year is, I didn't know, I mean, I knew what transgender meant. I didn't know a lot about it. That probably scares me even more than Nora right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The violence on transgender people of color, especially.
It's crazy.
It's, you know, it doesn't affect you. Just leave people alone.
Right. Right. Leave people alone. I've never understood the, I mean, like, because I'm just be whoever the hell you want to be always.
Right.
But, like, what is it doing to you?
Exactly.
Nothing. It affects you in no way, shape, or form. So just leave
it
alone.
Why do you care what's under their clothes?
Right. Right.
Why do you care? Right. I walk past 20 million people every day. I'm, you know, I'm just trying to smile at them and make sure that they exactly. feel like they are seen in the world. I don't mm-hmm. care who you are or
exactly.
what you do. I mean, I'll smile at a bad person because mm-hmm. bad people deserve a smile too.
I don't know. That's probably even more fun. Smile
it
at
is.
Them.
Yeah,
yes.
Really. Our first story time, we had protesters, not ours, once we took it over, but Goldie's first story time, Iz went out and offered cookies to all of the protesters. And she was
oh,
just
I
like,
love her.
She was like, well, we've got the cookies. And I was like, I know. Because she couldn't, I think it was the, so it's, you have a very distinct version of what a protester looks like, I think, when especially you're in our community, and Iz has always been in this community, so she doesn't know any different. But they had a lot of kids with them. And I think that threw her. She just didn't, where she was just like, well, I understand that, like, you know, Westboro people and all that kind of stuff, but there's kids there. And I'm like, I know, honey, there's kids, and that's just, that's, you know, they think that they're doing what's best. I mean, those, you know, just like I believe that I'm doing what's best with you. Mm-hmm.
When
as
you,
twisted
when you
as
match
it is.
A kid to a kid sometimes out there,
right.
it's a hell of an image, mm-hmm. you know, because both sides feel that you are
right.
destroying that kid's world, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know.
But if you take the parents out of it.
Mm-hmm. I bet you those two kids would go and hug each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they'd be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'd be fine. They'd be eating those cookies and they'd be fine.
And right. they wouldn't even talk about the issue at hand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't
and
care about
And that's why
that.
We, I think, one of the things about like drag queen story time, which is what we will get to, mm-hmm. is so important, because can't we all just agree that it's fun to sit around and have a story read to us? I mean, I'm 34 years old. I love having a book
sure.
read to me.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter who's reading it. So I just think that that whole concept of drag queen story time is one of the coolest
I
things that got
it.
Created
yeah.
in this
mm-hmm.
little world. Yeah, you both have really sweet kids, and it still blows my mind that we have to almost thank you both for being amazing parents to letting your kids let their freak flags fly.
Sure.
You know.
I got pretty lucky, though.
You
we do
did.
Have pretty awesome kids. I feel like I can take some credit for who Isabel is, but she is something all, I mean, she's mind blowing to me all on her own
yes.
without any kind of, you know, where I'm just like, oh, you thought of that all on your own, huh? Okay. Well, aren't you
That's
an amazing
exactly
woman?
How I feel about Jordan.
Right.
You know, he comes up with things that I never, I didn't
right.
put those in there.
Did you do anything like this as like an activist when you were a kid? Like, did you have the fire in you?
I had the fire. I didn't do anything. I didn't know, and I didn't go looking for that information.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, I mean, even as a small kid, like Isabel's age, I remember going to the lake one day, and I don't remember anyone saying anything, but I remember feeling like all the little white kids were over here, and there was this one little boy over here, and I went and played with him.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember not, I don't remember, I mean, obviously I heard the nasty words and people say things, but I never remember hating anyone because they were gay or different shade mm-hmm. of skin than I had or any of that. It was never about that for me. It was always about that person.
Right.
So.
Finding the underdog.
You talk about that yep. as well, Courtney. You know, you grew up with fabulous people around you in every way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did too, in some ways, even before I got into theater. My dad's friends, or I will always say, you know, my great-grandma, who used to have Pat and Dale, who lived right next door to them, and she'd go and bake them pies, and, like, mm-hmm. they obviously were a couple in 1990. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I mean, and an old, like, gay couple, and no one cared.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't, and we had a cousin that was, like, you know, the third cousin twice removed or whatever. Sure. I don't remember. I don't remember how many far back, but that actually lived in California. And so we knew that he was a member of the mm-hmm. family and that he was gay and all of that. And, but I only met him like one time because mm-hmm. he lived in California. But he was wonderful and magnificent. And it was great to have this person that was different in our family yeah. and all of that. And, he ended up passing away from AIDS, mm-hmm. so... Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, something that that we... that ebbs and flows. Like, I can't imagine really trying to come into yourself in the, you know, 60s and 70s and
sure.
that just being rampant and not having really enough information to really know what was happening, or what I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, like Cynthia Levin, of the artistic director of The Unicorn, talked about how the original artistic director of The Coterie had to die from cancer, because if they would have told people that he was dying of AIDS, people wouldn't have parents would not have taken their kids mm-hmm. to a kid's theater ran by a man who was dying right. of AIDS. So he died.
And that happened a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
It was the gay cancer.
Right, you know, absolutely. And I feel like you were were just enough different in age that I feel like the AIDS crisis was still in place, but not the same kind of information.
I learned about AIDS from Pedro on The Real World.
Right.
And like, that is my first real conversation.
Right, like, how old were you with Ryan White and Princess Di and all of that kind of stuff? Like, I think we're about the same. Like, I think you and I are the same difference as you and I, right? I think about, I don't know,
let me look up.
Yeah,
we're
6 years apart and we're 7 years apart or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that time in the U.S. history that very rarely gets discussed of the real, like, AIDS crisis there in the 80s and early 90s was something that I feel like I had more information on just because I was also coming into, like, and now you could be sexually active and all of that kind of stuff, that you were still, like, really young. Probably yeah. remember it, but weren't getting the same kind of information.
Well, I was also getting now we have 50 million news sources and
right.
20 bajillion mm-hmm. websites you can go to. The only information I could get was from whatever
right.
media
right.
sort mm-hmm. of wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And that's why that Real World show was so influential to me as a kid, because it was what was really happening
yep.
in the world, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the real world, mm-hmm. if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just, it is crazy to have been a part of that. And then, you know, now we're also able to speak so openly about what's happening in the world that we're sort of like, We can better ourselves. We can. I went to an AIDS Foundation luncheon where they raised like $300,000 or something in like no time, and you're just so glad that people are accepting of needing to get that research and mm-hmm. to really destigmatize something that previously was only with gay people, and mm-hmm. now.
And I think this year was the first year that more straight men were diagnosed with HIV than gay men.
Mm-hmm. And for a while, it was like the elderly, because right. they were, because of sexual enhancement drugs, they were finally able to start having sex again. But they weren't...
They weren't wrapping it up.
Yeah. And so they were spreading around sort of STDs in essentially retirement villages.
Right.
You know, and
I think that still happens a
yeah.
lot.
It does, but those sorts of conversations, now we can, because I will call it, we're no longer the Golden Girls looking age. You know, when we watched Golden Girls as a kid, I mean, Blanche was like my mom's age, and you know, and they just seemed
so not old. Even. They were like our age.
Yeah, they looked so old on that show, and they portrayed them as almost having to be these old mm-hmm. women, and now we're able to like, we're mm-hmm. all in this together, sort of way.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's my mom's. She's gonna smack me when she finds it. She's 67, mm-hmm. so she doesn't look 67.
Right.
How old are you?
48.
Mm-hmm. Boom! You're yes. so. That's so awesome.
So, I mean, we go out to the bars to, and people think we're sisters. Right. So they'd never believe that she's 67, mm-hmm. you know. But it's...
Well, yeah. You have such a sweet face. Oh, everyone wants to love you. See that smile? You all can't see it right now. She has the best smile ever. I could flirt with Mama Tumintin all day because I just think that sweet souls like that have to, you should be told how fabulous you are.
Oh, well, thank you.
Every day.
Thank you so much.
Because I think sometimes those things kind of get lost in the crowd, not on purpose, but whenever you're in a room where everyone is so supportive, sometimes you forget like the individual people that are in that room. So.
Right.
You'll probably hear it 40 million other times how much I love it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever tire of that one because that means somewhere somebody is happy because I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
well, I think the Hamburger Mary's world is better because of what you've brought to it well, through yourself and through your kids, and it's pretty
and
cool.
All of your endless hours of stitching.
Yes, yes, I just finished the one for Felicia, and I have another one working for Carmella, and
but that's amazing. Like you are a part of your community, just the same way that I feel like my parents are part of mine. They're at every show. They're literally meeting every cast member, and I love it. You know, and there are people whenever I'm doing theater shows that no one comes to support them, and so I'm always just like, come and meet my mom and dad. Like they will be here. At every show, and I believe, you know, like, it is one of those things that, like, it's, I could cry about it, because I truthfully believe that my parents want me to know that at least one person in that audience is rooting for me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So, and that feeling of that actual support, although sometimes it is, I don't want to say, like, embarrassing, you know, but to have that much support is just incredible, and I have watched people backstage of my shows say, I'm so glad your parents are here tonight. I saw them in the audience. They came up and they hugged me afterward. And I have those. You're one of those. And Courtney, you're one of those that's out there in the world. So it's okay to love what your kids are involved in because it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think that was one lesson I had to learn right away. Not everybody's ready for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I can be a lot sometimes. I can be a little overwhelming. Nora, quit laughing. But some people, because they haven't had that, don't know how to accept
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it takes a while to bring them onto my side.
Sure.
But once they are.
But most of them have switched to my way of getting there.
But because you're a part of that, you make people's costumes. I think did you make Isabella's little one for mm-hmm. her Freak 5 for the drag survivor? Like, mm-hmm. I have, your work has trickled down to what I will call my goddaughter, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And so I see her wearing your stuff and being happy in the things that you make for her.
She wore it last night.
And you want to. Like, I feel I've heard you say that, you know, hey, let me help you make something or whatever. And that sort of volunteer involvement, you know, screw the people that say that stage moms are bad. It's just, there are some stage moms that are bad, but that doesn't mean that being a stage mom is bad.
Well, I think there's a fine line between support and living vicariously through your children.
It's
a hard balance because you have to, you know, let them guide. I mean, we had that conversation when Isabel did a photo shoot some years ago. She was in a magazine and she was also in the midst of like chronic strep because she had to have her tonsils out and they wouldn't do it until she had it for enough time. And so she had a lot of thing after thing after thing. And she was like, I don't want to go. And I was like, wow, but we've already signed. Like, because I also then am like, well, I don't want to screw the person that's hired us, you know, kind of thing. Corey's like, you can't make her go. She doesn't want to go. And I was like, I know I can't. And for me, it was less like living vicariously, more just like, but we made an agreement.
Yeah,
and
you were teaching her about responsibility and agreements.
Right.
And to say, if you don't want to do this, let's not say yes the next mm-hmm. time.
Right, exactly.
And, but yeah, I was sitting in that van and I was like, no, but you don't understand. Like, we cannot be dance moms. Like, right. we cannot, like, force this kid to go and do mm-hmm. something that they don't want.
Right. Well, because that's the reality is that Isabel could model. She could model anywhere in the city, for sure. We've had plenty of offers, and she's a lovely, gorgeous small child, but she doesn't want to do it. So I'm like, that's great. We don't have to do it then. Yeah. You know, we did it the one time. You were, you know, a little cover model, and that's it. That's all we need to do.
Well, I think you have to know the difference between, because like I had to fight Donovan a lot of times to go play football because I think it helped him graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gave him that. But there were days that he would be like, I don't want to go to, mm-hmm. I don't want to go. And I had to push.
Yeah.
Kids are inherently lazy too. Yeah. But we're just like, can I just sit on my butt? Please.
Right. I think, you know, that was, you have to know the difference. But I think that part of that is knowing your kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yes.
My parents did that too. They tried to put me in everything and they were like, do you like this? Nope. Do you like this? No, but I'll sit at the very top row of Phantom of the Opera in crappy seats and not move. And my dad, you know, correct me, Dad, but he was just like, oh, like,
that's what he wants.
That's what he wants. That's the thing that made this kind of ants in his pants kid sit mm-hmm. still and stop. And so
that's right. Well, the difference is Sparky showing up to every single show to support you or otherwise, if he had been a true stage mom or golf dad.
Yes. But he was at every golf lesson I was at, too.
Sure, absolutely. But if he had done the wrong thing, then mm-hmm. you would be forced to play golf for the rest of your life.
I might be a millionaire, but I wouldn't be happy.
Right.
And there's definitely mm-hmm. Those things. So what... this is kind of our last, like, podcast for the year.
For the year, it's
so you're kind of our last one because of the holidays are coming mm-hmm. up. So do you have any kind of fun things coming up next week for the holidays?
No, nothing really exciting. The boys are older. I think my nieces are coming
mm-hmm.
To Drag Queen Storytime.
Cool.
So Drag Queen Storytime is my big thing. And mm-hmm. then for Christmas, we usually have enchiladas. And
a woman after my own heart.
Mm-hmm. So that's a whole new issue with after my surgery.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk both about your surgery really quick and then Drag Queen story mm-hmm. time that's coming up. So you had surgery this year, correct?
At the end of September, I had a gastric sleeve done, which they go in and take out 80% of my stomach. My stomach's now the size of like a banana.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's significantly less that I can eat. My taste buds aren't even the same, really. I don't really like the same foods. Or
what made you decide to have that surgery?
The threat of diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. I wasn't eating right. Mm-hmm. I don't like to exercise.
Mm. Same.
So, you know, somebody better be chasing me with a big knife if you want me to
run.
If
I'm running, you should run too.
Run really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I just knew myself that that's not going to get better if I don't do something drastic. Mm-hmm. And so this was what I picked, and mm-hmm. it seems to be working out great. So my highest weight, I've lost 51 pounds.
That's so cool. Do you have a goal to lose, or are you just happy with every pound that falls off?
I'm happy with every pound that falls off. I think that when I went in, the doctor told me a certain weight, and I'm about 20 pounds away from that. So I didn't have as much to lose as some people that get the surgery,
mm-hmm.
But it was affecting my body and my health, so... it changes your body a lot, so.
Do you feel healthier?
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I actually feel great.
What do you think, like, the psychological, positive effects are from that as well?
Well, I really kind of feel bad because I think, like, there's such a big thing with Lizzo right now and mm-hmm. body positivity and all of that. And I totally think that's great, but you got to make sure your health's good too.
Right.
So that would be my only concern with anyone that was a little heavy, because Lord knows I still am. It's just working on making yourself feel better.
That whole body positivity movement is so exciting and, for a lack of a better term, sort of scary too, in that what you've said is, like, of course, like, be who you go and be. Be as fabulous as you possibly can, absolutely. No matter if you're a twig or, you know, I don't know, huge. But you have to make sure that you aren't being unhealthy.
Well, and I think it's about how you feel health-wise. I mean, you know, there is no definitive, I mean, you know, extreme cases of obesity or, you know, very, very overweight people tend to have more complications health-wise. But that is the same on the flip side of very, very underweight people have those same complications health-wise and all of the same things that can happen to them. You know, your heart and your body needs to function in a certain way. And so, yes, you know, body positivity is a thing. You should always be comfortable in your own skin and be proud of who you are. But if you could be, you know, 100 pounds, and if you have high cholesterol because it runs in your family, that's not, your diet needs to change in order to make, you know, do those things. And if you're 200 pounds and you don't have high cholesterol and you're active and you're, you know, that could just be like, I'm not I could use some weight taken off, but I'm not ever going to be this big around because it's not my body type. Right. It's not who
I am.
Or
you develop an eating disorder.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just not, it's not, my build is bigger than that. You know, I mean, I'm just never going to be that person and that's okay with me, you know?
See, and that's my thing too, is that even with the weight loss, I'm never going to look like Misty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I'm never going to be a tiny, tiny person. My bone structure is not made for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just want everyone to be healthy. And I mean, there are lots of people who have this surgery done and go exactly the opposite way and are malnourished and vitamin deficient and don't feel any better than they did before.
Or they don't change anything about their life.
Right.
You know,
and
I sort
hope
of,
that that'll just get
I, it's for lack of a better phrase, it's kind of like, if you get that, I hope that then you realize, like, what you need to do to keep yourself healthy. Just because your stomach is the size of a banana does not, you know,
absolutely
mean that you're, if you shove Taco Bell in there every time, that you're going to feel
absolutely
any better.
Mm-hmm. And I've had to stop myself and think,
especially
now as I progress and I can eat more as far as different types of things, it's been very much stop and think before you eat it. Do you need it? You know, is that gonna nourish your body, or is that just you because you're bored?
Right.
And I try not to be a bored eater.
I have always been a bored eater.
I love to graze. I could just sit there and that's why often I'm like, you just have to put it away.
Right.
If it's there, I'm going to eat it.
Exactly.
So, can we please move the chips and salsa away from me? Because I'm getting ready to order another thing of chips.
Right.
That's me.
And so, I have to sort of keep parts of that balanced because of how active I am. That does not mean that the stuff that I put in my body is always the best.
Feeling it properly.
Right. If you don't eat something besides Chipotle, then...
Oh, but I love Chipotle.
I've heard.
Only eats Chipotle.
Mama Jimenez, we'll talk about that later.
But in the great aspect of things, that is one of the more healthy kinds of choices you could make when it comes to fast food or out.
Yeah. I don't like to cook.
I love to cook. and especially now, my biggest problem is by the time I'm done cooking, I'm full because I've tasted everything.
Right, everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've had my three bites because...
Oh, right. That's all you get,
That's so funny. So, what's your favorite food to make?
Anything. I like to cook. I just like to cook. So now I'm doing this big meal prep thing, and, you know, because you gotta be... I have to plan, or I will eat whatever I can find, so...
If you ever want to cook for me,
we'll stop eating Chipotle.
We've done that. We've taken lasagna and chili. And
my problem is that I'm not a picky eater. I just can't ever pick what I want to eat. I'm the opposite. It literally goes, I have an opinion about everything in my life until you're like, what do you want to eat? And then I'm like, blank slate. Nope. It's like, I feel like it's just like a mouse cursor, just like blinking. I'm like, couldn't tell you.
If it's not Chipotle.
Well, Chipotle is just easy. It's the easiest
thing.
You
always know you want it. Yeah.
I will always be satisfied with my meal at Chipotle. And I can mix up the same 20 ingredients to make it taste...
Totally different.
Totally different. And I'm part of a rewards program.
I feel
so
like
then I get free Chipotle.
Chipotle people are Chipotle people.
Yeah.
And if you're not, like, I don't ever need Chipotle. Ever.
I
I will eat it on occasion if somebody's like, this is what we're doing, or if it's like at a, you know, lunch meeting, I feel like that's an easy thing. But like, I don't, it will never occur to me to be like, I want to go to Chipotle. But I feel I like people who Chipotle like Chipotle are like, people. I need to eat it three times a week.
See, I just don't like the line. Mm. So what I did find out is I could order it on my app. Mm-hmm. And just walk in the store and pick it up and leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of handy.
I don't want to do that, though, because they will not get it right. I needed to go in there a certain way.
Oh.
How do I know if I got the extra medium salsa if I didn't wash them, if I didn't say, I need a little more.
I need a little more. You're one of those.
Sure am.
And proud of it.
Yes. Well, and that's why you kind of have a home-based one that they kind of start making it the way that you like it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
So if I could almost put like an asterisk on my order to be like, no, this is the Corey order. Hi, can you just do it this
like,
way?
Do it exactly like this. Uh-huh. He'll just put a little video.
Yeah, no, I am maybe a difficult line. It doesn't matter. I'm going to eat Chipotle tonight now. Yeah.
In the cooking thing, I did get told once that I had to quit because I believe it was Riri told me that, you know, you got to quit bringing me things because, these outfits are...
I'm not going to fit if you don't...
And we stoners. And, you know, those late night eatings, you're just like,
That's the thing.
I love Riri. I love...
That's my daughter I didn't know I had. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She may not know it either, but... I tried to tell her.
Yeah, the best soul. I love Riri.
I love her so much. Yeah. I wish she didn't hate kids so much so she could come to her story time. She stopped by story time. It was that last month that she stopped by and she just stayed up on the app. She was like, "Mine, come down there." I was like, I get you, girl.
Was I at the last one or two?
Two ago, I believe. Yeah. The last one that she stopped by and Cupcake stopped by, which I thought was very interesting. It's because they were all of the stuff for Miss Casey was
at Mary's, so they had
to like pick up things and go there. I was like, I ain't gonna make you talk to kids. It's fine. She'll hug my kid. Again, I have the exception to the rule. That's why I have that sign at Andy's wrist. Andy Chambers hates children, but he loves mine.
He loves yours.
Yeah.
He posted about it today.
Uh-huh. Yes, because today was what do you want to be when you grow up day. Right. So a year ago, she dressed as him for school.
So speaking of drag queen story time, this Saturday, give me the date.
21st.
21st.
11 a.m.
At Hamburger Mary's on Broadway. We will be is this your last story time for
the
year?
It's our last of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about story time.
Story time is the most wonderful thing ever created.
It's true.
So we have drag queens and sisters of a perpetual indulgence that come in and they read stories to children and perform songs for the children and do... acts just like they would any other. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, not always.
Not exactly.
Unless you're an inversion. Molten got close about the sandwich or whatever.
I didn't see the whole thing, but yeah, the Molten was incredible though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
When she walked in the door, I just teared up because she just she just embodied everything. Yep. I don't know how to make that make sense or put that into words.
Nope,
but
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I love the people who want to be there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lana Lux did an awesome job.
She did. Lana was amazing.
Nervous as I'll get out beforehand.
She was terrified.
But got up there and showed out and... Those kids loved it.
Oh my god, and Violet was like, I was like, all right, well, you made a believer out of Violet, and that's hard to do.
Right?
Because she don't like nobody.
For first-time people, tell them, you know, because obviously you hear drag queen story time, and there's been some stuff in the news, especially I think up in St. Joe, when they were pushing against that. So, if first-time person, never really, not truly familiar with a drag bar or drag queens, why should they come to story time?
Because it's kids getting to be kids.
Yeah.
And just have fun and get a story read to them.
Right. Yeah.
And
I'm in it for the story and the craft hour.
And doing crafts.
We have a fun craft this month too.
And
it's gonna be good.
It's just fun and kids get to be kids and they get to be they just get to be.
Right.
And they can be whatever they want to be. And
I wish they would have had that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I wish I had known about it when my kids
were
little.
It's dancing, it's crafts, it's songs, it's books. There's literally nothing strange or out of the ordinary. You would find this at any library. There is no difference between I'm taking my kids to, you know, the library and Elsa's going to read them a book and do a craft. It's the exact same thing.
That is not negative. That has been a conversation, though, about the difference between should drag queen story time be taking place in a library compared to, like, a restaurant bar. And I think that it doesn't matter where the story is. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take drag queen story time to a park. You can take it to a train station. You can put it anywhere. The purpose of, I think, it being at Hamburger Mary's is, one, you can grab yourself a snack while you're there.
Exactly.
Sure.
Don't forget to tip your bartender, you know, kind of stuff. But you also get to patron, for me, an LGBT place. Mm-hmm. Like, give your money and your time to a place that allows queen story time to take place in it. There's so many places that won't want that in their place. Mm-hmm. And Hamburger Mary's is like, look, we got a stage.
Yep.
Come read.
Well, and I think that's part of it. I think we have a different format than a lot of drag queen story times. I think the ones that take place in libraries are very specifically geared towards younger kids and are just reading books. And I think that that's great. But because ours comes with the ticket price and our tickets, the sales go to this month, Transformations. And for the next few months, Transformations, which is a LGBT inclusive group. I should probably read the actual spiel from them. But a mostly trans youth of color group that does education and makeup classes and has art classes and all different sorts of things. That's a youth group specifically for our trans community. Isabel was very specific about wanting to kind of change up the notion of finding, since she herself is a kid, giving to LGBT charities that have a child component or youth component was something specific. And so we partnered with them. And so your ticket price goes to that as opposed to being just a free come in and get a story read to you and be done. Because we have games and crafts and, you know, things that we have that are a little bit more conducive to do at Mary's as opposed to a library. I think that's probably, I don't know that all story times across the country have that same format where you're getting up and dancing and performing and all that kind of stuff.
But that's what makes your guys' special.
Mm-hmm. When kids get to dance and perform.
And I think that it's cool, like, that I don't even think I have to say it nicely. I just love that Moulton or Riri or whatever, like, give the same performance that they would give to a sold-out house in that room. They give it to one kid or 50 kids, depending on who's there. And that, to me, it's what I always say whenever I'm directing a show. You do the same show for one person that you do for 2,300 after this past weekend, you know, that I did or whatever.
And this smiles, even. And on the kids, I mean, obviously, I would love the kids, but to see the queens when they leave, that they are touched, I think. I think they see things a little different, maybe, or, you know, I'd like to think they do anyway.
Well, I think they see the hope and the humanity that is coming up. I mean, if that was your first drag queen story time, what, for the rest of your life, you may then be able to be an advocate for us to say, look, I went to one. It was amazing. Go down and check it out.
Yeah.
Well, we even have servers that are asking to work that day specifically now.
Yeah. And it's fun. Because it's fun because we kind of have a routine with it now. This is our third month?
Yes.
And so, yeah, Jordan has made a wonderful orc baklava. I suppose not Nora when we're doing story time. has made a wonderful new edition of all the jokes, so the kids come prepared with jokes.
It's like an interactive moment.
It's fantastic. This month is a PJ party for the winter holidays. I think we are doing books from all of the holidays. We've got some Christmas ones. We have Hanukkah books, because actually that's the day before Hanukkah starts. I believe we have some Kwanzaa books, and our craft is more winter themed. We try and be as inclusive as possible.
We should do a book drive
Like around the last day of Isabel's toy drive as well, or little sister's toy drive. I guess I have to do it too. Little sister queen Jabata ding dong. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like baklava does.
Right?
I guess because we all love baklava. Literally.
So we'll be collecting toys for the last day of her toy drive before we drop them off at Amethyst Place on Monday.
Because I think Granny's got the trunk full.
Fair enough. Yeah, we've got to go get all the bins from around the locations and places. We've got Ron McGee mm-hmm. who I believe is Miss Annie, I think is his drag personality for the day, is the personality who reads to children. and I'm going to butcher Kiki's last name.
Uchawi.
There we go.
There's a house of Uchawi, right?
There is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It is.
Carmella's read before, right?
No.
No? Who did we have? It was a couple ago. I don't know. Anyway.
I just added one of the Uchawis, I think, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one.
I think that Carmella and Kiki are the only two that carry the name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, mm-hmm. in our last...
That I know of.
In our last 15 minutes, I can't believe we're already in our last 15 minutes. Wow. I've enjoyed our chat so much. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Vanessa Friedel, a.k.a. Mama Demented. So the actor studio questions portion of this, what is your definition of real magic?
He's going to get you to cry before this is over.
Probably listening to Andy talk for me. He just gets inspirational. He loves, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. He's not perfect. He's not always going to be happy. Sometimes we get cranky. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it personally, but I've heard about it.
Well, he's a human.
Yeah, he is human. Not that you'd know that sometimes. He just seems to be an ethereal being some days.
That's why I'm glad that he helped found the sisters. I think that was a perfect calling for him.
And Isabel, she makes my life. she just loves. And that's what I think's important, so...
Love is the real magic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I couldn't agree more. Love is love.
It's true. It's true. All right, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Always periwinkle, because it's somewhere between, right? Periwinkle is my favorite color. Man. I don't know why. It's somewhere between blue and purple, and it's just always my favorite color.
That was my color to my senior prom. Mm.
Was it really?
Periwinkle.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Me and my date, Josh Minnis, had... matching vest, and I had on periwinkle, and he had on banana yellow.
It's true. Oh, goodness.
And we were...
magical.
Adorable.
The collab in here is kind of a mix between blue and purple, but it's a lot darker, and I believe somebody called it a blurple.
A blurple?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Which is not as pretty as periwinkle, like the color. Right. But it's a beautiful color. I love that
color. Used to be a restaurant, I think, in Lone Jack called Cafe Periwinkle, where...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't go to Lone Jack.
But it was like this mansion on the side of the street, Mom, if you're listening to this. But I always thought that it was so cool because they would put edible flowers on top of all of their food and in their drinks. And I just remember the first time sort of that being like the most avant-garde thing I had ever seen. I was like, ooh, we are fancy. Like, we get to eat our flowers.
Yeah. I try not to go to too fancy of a place.
That's fair. That's fair.
What is something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing?
Oh, I don't remember ever being told I couldn't do anything.
That's a good answer, too.
I don't really remember anyone ever telling me you can't do that.
Have you passed that down to not really tell anyone that they can't?
I try not to, yeah. Mm-hmm. I try not to ever tell anybody they can't do that or don't do that or... you know, maybe suggest another way around it or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I just don't think you can tell people, no, you just can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, ding dong. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yep.
No, don't be sorry at all. See, that's why you're an incredible human.
That's great. I never thought of that, but I just don't remember ever being told, no, you can't be whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's... Mm-hmm. Incredible. So, congratulations to every person in your life for not stifling you. Because now we get you.
Thanks.
Right. Let's see here. All right. Wait, I tried this last week. I don't have it written down, so I have to be careful. Okay. So, would you rather travel back to 1900 for a day or forward to 2100 for a day?
Oh, probably back.
Mm. Yeah.
I think knowing what I know now, maybe I would have more to share with those, would be able to change the world more if I could go back than to change what's in the future.
I feel like I want to go back because the things that were already easy and made sense by the time I existed. I would love to, like, really see what it was like that at night when the lights, you know, when the sun went down, like, there was no light.
Oh, you just, like, need to come to Green Valley. There are places in Green Valley where you can see that.
Yeah, but just really, like, seeing how the world, yeah, like, functioned and lived and not having necessarily, like, skyscrapers and really what we think is like a big skyscraper now, imagining what that was like in 1900 to people. Was that like the double-decker post office? Like, you know?
I always think of, like, when we go to St. Louis or something, I will drive by these fields and I'm like, can you imagine if you lived here and you had to walk to your neighbor's house and
it would
take you
3 days?
Yeah,
right.
You know,
you had to send a letter on a ship through the ocean, hoping that by the time they got it, you weren't dead.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and so,
come home soon. Just kidding, I'm dead.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Right, that is crazy. If you could eat something every day for the rest of your life and not get fat and it wouldn't kill you and it wouldn't be bad for you, what would that thing be?
Well, it probably wouldn't be the same these days just because things taste different. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's tough because I like food a lot. Mm-hmm. If I could go without, probably ice cream if I could get rid of this, I hate to say this word on air, but the snot that goes with it.
That's fair.
We've heard far worse.
But yeah, I love some ice cream, but...
What's your favorite flavor?
Any.
Just all ice cream?
Yeah.
I like ice cream.
I like ice cream. Mm-hmm. I went to the
birthday cake,
KC store on the plaza, where it used to be... American Eagle or whatever that is, right next to where the Houston's is, and they have a ice cream parlor in there called Bay Ice Cream, where what they do is really delicious. They turn... I'm gonna tell you. Because last night I went with my friend Brooke, and after we had Chewies and had a great little date, I decided that in 2020 I want to pay more attention to sort of like the 15 minute like ice cream cone break. Like, it doesn't have to be a 3 hour adventure. It doesn't have to be all of these things. It's okay to just call someone sometimes and just be like, let's go meet for an ice cream cone. Then you go back on with your life and I'll go back on with mine. So we implemented that last night afterward. I was just like, hey, do you got 15 minutes? Let's go get an ice cream cone. And we saw, you know, local down there. So they essentially take cereal and grind it up into soft serve, and then it comes out of the soft serve thing with, like, your Fruity Pebbles inside of it, or your Cinnamon Toast Crunch inside of it, and that was
delicious.
There's a restaurant in Des Moines, Iowa. What was the name of it? Now I can't think of it. It's a burger place, but they had, well, you could get shakes and stuff, but we were on our way home from a pageant, so Jahari Abandu had that pageant up there. So.
Yes. I took a picture of it. You can't see it, but, I mean, it was delicious. I had the s'mores, and it was
delicious. Yeah, I'm never mad at that. We went to a place while we were in Florida.
So shout out to Bay Ice Cream if you'd like to support Couch Chats. We would love to have you.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember the name of it either, which is too bad because we have cups of it, but not when we went to Florida just recently, but a family vacation a couple years back on the Gulf side in Siesta Key that was one of those nitrogen where they make it ice cream right then, like with nitrogen, and you can do all your little mix-ins and figure out your flavor and whatever. And it was delightful because I did not realize, which is too bad because I have an ice cream baron, whatever you are. but that ice cream is supposed to sit at a certain temperature in order for you to fully taste its deliciousness. Like, you're not supposed to, like, ice cream that's too cold actually.
If you get a brain freeze, it's not right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You like it's right. It's supposed to be soft. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if you ever want your ice cream to be put a little softer, put it in a plastic bag in your freezer, and it will stay the soft thing. It will not freeze.
Right, which is a tip I learned, like, last week, and then I saw, like, three memes about it, and I was like, this is a weird thing that we've manifested into our lives, and I didn't know that.
Listening.
I went 40 years. without knowing that, and then I found all the information I ever needed about
it. I was craving crab legs, and literally, I didn't say it out loud, and all of a sudden, my phone started giving me advertisements for crab legs, and I was like, oh, now it's in my brain. Now
that's frightening.
Now you're hearing my brain. Great. And I made the joke, I think I said it to my husband, I was like, maybe I was talking in my sleep, and my phone heard me or something.
Screaming crab.
Crab legs!
At my house, that could be very real. Donovan's a sleep talker.
Really?
Yes, it's hilarious. He will carry on a full conversation with you.
Do you like to hold up conversations with him?
Oh, yeah.
I do that with my husband,
just to
too.
See what crazy stuff he's going to say. Uh-huh. It's usually really wild.
I start recording it, too. My husband does not like that.
I'm bad about doing that, taking pictures of people when they sleep.
Because... everyone sleeps. It's right. Like everyone poops.
I take pictures of my kids when I sleep all the time because that's when they're the sweetest.
Yes.
Me too, Steve. I just took one of Nora the other day. Come home from a long night of sistering and literally like this on the in the chair.
Yeah, so
too
sweet.
Cute.
Covered up the one eye that was still a flower, but
right. That's so funny.
This pink makeup doesn't come off very well.
Really?
Yeah.
But he looks so good.
Right.
So I have my question, Courtney, I'll ask one more, and then I have my last two. So what do you hope that your legacy is, after we leave this universe?
Oh, gosh. I think just, okay, so we've said it like 500 times.
You can say it in a way.
Somebody's going to have to count and see how many times we say the word love, but just to love more. And love people just because. You know, I mean, you don't have to... you can love someone and not like them very much.
Mm-hmm. I love a lot of people that I don't necessarily love or like.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so just to let them know that there's someone in the world that loves them, and you may learn to like them a little bit more because they're loved.
You mean celebrate the differences?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I love to learn. I love having conversations with people who don't agree with me because I think that that's one of the hardest things to do at the end is to still sort of shake hands and go on with life. It is very difficult to do, but I try to see it from the other side. I think if I had one, like, crux in me, you know, it would be that I have to devil's advocate everything. I have to try and see what the other side, why you think that that is the way that it is. And sometimes I can peer into it and see it, and other times I'm like, no, you're just an asshole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Last question from you, Miss Perry.
All right. You are invisible for 24 hours. What are you doing with your time?
Oh, goodness.
And you can teleport. You can go anywhere. You don't have to worry about
travel. Traveling doesn't have to be part of your 24 hours.
But I'm invisible, so I can't go visit someone because they're not going to see me.
Unless you want to scare the shit out of them.
Well, yeah, but as fun as that would be. Gosh, I don't know. What do you do if you're invisible?
What do you want to do? Fun. Mm. I love the every time a question stumps someone, I love it.
Oh, I hate being stumped.
You got it.
What would you do if you were invisible?
I know what I would do.
I know what I would do.
Okay, what would you do?
I would go to the Smithsonian
idea.
Or some I would touch the art that you're not supposed to touch in some, like, because there's, like, places that are, like, big like that where you can't even really get close to it. My favorite thing about looking at art is to, like, examine the texture of it, if that's garments or, you know, super thick oil paintings, and I want to get, like, right, like, I don't, like, I can have on gloves and not be, you know, like, not destroy the art, but I want to get up on it to see how it's made. I want to, and then I want to touch, like, antique jewelry and, like, you know, like, things that are, like, in under cases. I need to, like, get to it and see it.
That sounds an awful lot like my aunt. We go shopping and she has to touch everything in the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to be in places that I'm not supposed to be. Like, I would love to be,
so you're
like...
both just rebels.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be cool. I'm actually just sort of pulling it out. But, you know, like, how cool would it have been if you could, like, time travel in that time and to actually, like, sit in Hitler's, like, war room and be like, what was it actually like? Mm-hmm. You know, or to go and sit on, like, with a Broadway producer that when they're actually, like, creating a brand new show where I'm not changing anything. I'm just almost watching how the sausage gets made in different ways because... it's probably the ability, I want to, like, learn more. Mm-hmm. So I just want to see the things that, you know, junkie public are not allowed to see. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. interesting. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I would want to travel because I, in my real life, I'm such a chicken that, like, I've never left the country. I'm not real big on airplanes. I don't foresee myself flying 24 hours over the ocean mm-hmm. kind of thing. So maybe... So I could move around and...
So you could travel without flying.
Yes.
That would be good for
yes.
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because I've always wanted to go to Alaska and Ireland and mm-hmm. see things like that. So mm-hmm. that I would probably be traveling without having to do the actual flying.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, last two questions. Is there anything that you didn't get to discuss or say or words of advice or... thoughts you'd like to end with from your heart and soul?
I've made it through without crying. I teared, but I didn't cry. I just be yourself, love one another. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, the rest of it's, you know, what car you drive, what you're wearing, what you look like, all that. None of that really matters at the end of the day. It's all about heart.
Yep.
It's all about heart. And then who should we have on the show? Who would you like to sit and listen and learn about?
Oh, wow. okay, so I've talked a lot about Andy, and I know he's been here. And I don't ever want to hurt anyone's feelings by using one person, picking one person over the other. So,
oh my
sorry.
Oh, gosh. Look at you. You're so cute.
What has changed for us as a family with the drag survivor story? I would say Widow of Undo.
Mm-hmm. I would love to have Widow
yeah.
on.
We yeah. should get Widow on.
Widow, we are mm-hmm. coming for you. I would love to talk to Widow.
So.
It might be harder to hear soon.
It's
but,
true. Well, we tried to get her on while you were doing right. the judging, but then she mysteriously disappeared for some
she
weeks.
She had to get that knee replaced or something. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Forget
I can't
her.
Wait to see how her knee replacement went.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I think that she has a lot to share that...
I don't think people know the real Ray Fry.
No.
I don't think they know half of anything about her that
yeah.
they think they know.
Yeah.
I think that
has a lot to do with some of those personalities there. You
the
know?
Big, tough persona, I think there's a little mm-hmm. softness in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I would agree.
I mm-hmm. think Ray / Widow is a very sweet person if you can get
most,
5 minutes with him.
Yep.
Most wonderful
yep.
ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he, you talk about love, he loves people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Widow, we're coming for you. this is my, and for real, okay, I have one more question. What are both of you guys' favorite Christmas holiday movie?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh.
Mine is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, you don't watch any of them?
No, because we... When I was with my ex, we had to watch All Day and All Night, A Christmas Story.
Ugh.
Oh, fuck that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just excuse me on that. Fuck that movie.
So, I'm like a little Christmas movie out.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fair.
Gotcha. She doesn't watch any.
No.
Her
yeah.
favorite holiday movie is not a holiday movie.
My favorite holiday movie is a drag show.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is what we did for Christmas last year.
Fair.
I love that. Fair. What is yours?
Family Stone. Very mm-hmm. depressing, but... incredibly good. I don't. It's the one that no matter what at the holidays, I won't turn off. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the original Miracle on 34th Street as well.
Sure.
Which is on the Disney Plus. For
I love A White Christmas too.
Sure.
I gotta go home and watch White Christmas. I haven't got to do it yet.
Maybe I should check them out. I don't know.
Maybe we should have a holiday movie party where we don't watch the same one for 24 hours.
Right?
Yeah.
And we can come home from a drag show and then watch movies.
Exactly.
That was the most wonderful, like, relaxing Christmas. We didn't wrap any presents. We didn't unwrap any presents. We didn't have to clean anything up.
Mm-hmm.
We just hung out and... went to the drag show.
I love that.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for being on the
show. Thank you for having me.
I love it. Next week, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone. As we talked about, Hanukkah begins this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
22nd. And we will kind of be in the middle of all of the holidays. The following week, we will be doing sort of like a year recap that mm-hmm. Courtney and I are working on for all of our guests for this year. So... that will wrap up our 2019.
That's right.
I believe we are nearing the end.
That's right. Please get tickets to story time and make a donation.
How do they get those tickets if they'd like to do that beforehand?
We are on Facebook. I can't remember the actual like Eventbrite link, but on Facebook, if you go to Drag Queen Storytime KC, you will see both of our lovely children's faces.
Yes. They are both on there, and that's a good photo shoot.
It's true. You can click on that, and the link for that is in the bio. Same with Little Sister's Instagram, or we've shared it on the Arts Asylum as well. Mm-hmm. There are locations for toy drives, both here at the Arts Asylum, at Wonderland, Andy's store, and at A to Z Theatrical. And then we'll be also be collecting for the final round at Storytime. And cool. Everybody have a wonderful holiday
have
season.
A wonderful holiday. Go out there and make your friends and and spread the love, as Mama Demented would say.
Right. That's right.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.